All right, everyone, welcome to Pure Words Baptist Church. You grab your seats and find a hymnal. Our first song this evening will be 133, Safe Wherever I Go. 133, Safe Wherever I Go. And we'll sing it through twice. 133, Safe Wherever I Go. Sing it out nice and loud on the first. Safe wherever I go, peace the world cannot know. Sins all forgiven in heaven, my home. I'm safe wherever I go. Safe wherever I go, peace the world cannot know. Sins all forgiven in heaven, my home. I'm safe wherever I go. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for Pure Words Baptist Church and all people that would show up on a Thursday evening to hear the word of God preached. I pray that you would just prepare our hearts for the message, that you fill us all with the Holy Spirit, and that you just keep us safe this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, for our second song, we'll go to song 147, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, song 147. 147, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, on the first.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
All right, at this time we'll go through our bulletin. We have our verse of the week on the front there, Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Very encouraging verse, especially in the times that we're living in right now, where we're starting to see some Christian persecution. It's a very encouraging verse. So we have our service times there on the left, Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening, 5:30 p.m., and Thursday evening Bible studies at 7 p.m. All of our church-wide soul winning times are also listed there. On the left, we also have our stats. Does anyone have any salvations to report from this week that has not already been counted? Two? Okay, anyone else? Okay. Keep up the great work on that. We talked to a guy out soul winning today that grew up Mormon, and we thought, okay, this guy says he grew up Mormon, so probably very unreceptive. But he actually was very receptive. Fortunately, we ran out of time with him. Hopefully, Brother Perry can go back and talk to him. But yeah, it was very interesting seeing a Mormon that was receptive to the gospel. You don't see that very often, for sure. Let's make sure that we're keeping our expecting ladies in prayer, both at Pure Words and Steadfast Baptist Church. There is a bit of an update for the upcoming guest preaching. Very happy to be here this evening, get to see you all and preach for you guys today. But unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to on Sunday due to the eviction with Steadfast and just all the turmoil that's going on up there. Pastor Shelley canceled his trip to L.A., and then I canceled mine to Houston. So I'm happy to be here tonight, but unfortunately I'm going to have to hit the road after this service and just deal with everything that's going on up there. So if you wouldn't mind keeping us in prayer, it's a very just fluid situation that's going on. And our church, honestly, is very strong. Our church is very unified, and this is not shaking us. This, you know, Steadfast Baptist Church is steadfast, unmovable, right? So, you know, our building can move, but our doctrine isn't going to move. Our faith isn't going to move. But just keep us in prayer that we could find a building and that everything would be going smoothly for us. March 10th, though. Oh, and by the way, so Brother Nick Gomez will be preaching this Sunday. So make sure you still come to church, be faithful to church, and listen to a great message that I'm sure he's going to prepare for you guys. Also, Thursday, March 10th, Brother Chris Segura from Faithful Word Baptist Church. And then Sunday, March 20th, Brother Ben, the Baptist, will be coming down from Fort Worth, and he always brings the heat, so make sure you show up for that as well. Upcoming events, Soul Winning Seminar, March 24th, 25th, and 26th. Just be watching the YouTube channels for updates on that. I'm not sure if those dates will change. The location definitely will change because it was going to be at the church, right? But just make sure you're staying up to date on that if that changes as far as dates or anything like that. Just keep an eye on that. But as for now, it's still scheduled for the 24th, 25th, and 26th. And, of course, just be looking for that location. April 2nd, we're going to have a Soul Winning Marathon in College Station, Texas. And I know tons of people from Steadfast will be going to that. I'm sure lots of you guys will as well. So we're looking forward to that. We just had a Soul Winning Marathon in Waco, Texas. And we had some brothers from Pure Word show up. But all those salvations got to count towards Steadfast. Okay, but the College Station one, all those salvation counts towards Pure Word. So hopefully you get a lot of those Steadfast people come and get some salvations added, right? And then also, Soul Winning Marathon in Austin, Texas. Again, I'm sure lots of people from different churches will be showing up to that. But I'm really excited for that, even though that's a very liberal city. A lot of times, college towns can be very receptive to the gospel. Young people can be receptive. So even though it's kind of like seen as mini Sodom, it's not quite bad as Sodom, as we'll find out in tonight's sermon. So there's still hope for Austin. We're going to try to make Austin normal again. And so make sure we be praying for all these prayer requests here. If you have anything new to add, you could always email the church, and we'll make sure to get that on the bulletin. But let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer really quickly. Lord, thank you for this day, and we just bring our request before you humbly, Lord, and just pray that you would bless Steadfast Baptist Church and Pastor Shelley and his family. Pray that you'd protect them. Pray that you would just give us favor to help us find a new building, Lord. And I pray that you please just destroy our enemies. Don't let them triumph over us, God. I pray that you would do it speedily and in a way where it's known by everyone that you are the one that judged them, Lord. And pray for Brother Edward for his health and all the other requests of the needs of the people of this church. You know the needs, Lord. Pray that you would answer those requests according to your will. And we love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, for our third song, let's go ahead and go to 159. Blessed be the name. 159, blessed be the name. 159, blessed be the name. All praise to him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave his son for man to die that he might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more. At God the Father's own right hand, where angel hosts adore. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Redeemer, Savior, friend of man, once ruined by the fall, thou hast devised salvation's plan, for thou hast died for all. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth's kingdoms conqueror, whose reign shall never cease. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. Great singing this time. We'll read Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19.
Genesis chapter number 19. Genesis 19. And the Bible reads, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid a hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shewed unto me, in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and this is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. It is not a little one, and my soul shall live. And he said unto him, I see I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to take place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and their younger arose and lay with him, and perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father, and the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son, and called his name Ben-Ammi, and the same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day.
Let's pray.
Father God in heaven, thank you for this service. Thank you for Brother Dylan. Please fill him with your spirit. Please help us consume the knowledge and understanding that he's prepared for us so that we can serve you better, serve and love each other better. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. All right, well, first I want to thank Pastor Shelley for sending me down here and letting me preach for you guys. As always, I really appreciate the opportunity. And thank you all for coming to church to hear the Word of God preached. And tonight, it's going to be a very specific sermon. The title of my sermon tonight is Make Texas Normal Again. Make Texas Normal Again. Texas has long purported itself to be this bastion of Christianity. It's called the Bible Belt, right? It's one of the most conservative so-called places in America. Yet, the last time I checked, it's the first place in America where a Bible-believing Baptist church has been legally and lawfully evicted for preaching the Word of God in America, right here in Texas. And the reason why is because Texas is no longer a normal place. Texas cannot claim to be a Christian, normal, conservative place where sodomites are able to cause a Baptist church to be evicted. And of course, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. We know that God's going to work this out good for us, for, you know, Christians, this situation. But you know who this is not good for? This is not good for the state of Texas. This is a judgment of God on the state of Texas. And just because we're always victorious, just because we're always on the winning side, does not mean that it's somehow good what happened. No, it's actually a horrible thing what's happening right now in Texas. And Texas is no longer a normal place when the majority of people that live in this state support homosexuality, support sodomites. We just read Genesis chapter 19, which is the first detailed story given about the people that lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, what we call sodomites, homosexuals. Okay, that's what we're talking about in Genesis 19. And the Bible does not paint the same picture that most of Texas wants to paint today. The Bible does not paint the same picture that most of the media and the world wants to get you to believe about the sodomites. It's the exact opposite. They want to tell you that they're normal. No, Texas used to be normal back when they rejected sodomites. And if Texas ever wants to be a normal place again, if Texas ever wants to be the Bible Belt, you're going to have to actually believe what the Bible says. You can't call yourself the Bible Belt when you hate pastors that preach the Bible. You can't call yourself the Bible Belt when you evict churches that preach the Bible. Sorry, it's not the Bible Belt anymore. And so, I just want us to hammer down this doctrine. I know that our church already believes what we believe about sodomites, that they're wicked, that they're worthy of death according to the Bible. But you know what? Apparently, Christians need to hear this doctrine more. And I'll be honest with you. I don't like talking about this. I don't like thinking about sodomites. I don't like that since June of last year, I've had to take my family past a giant pack of ravening, disgusting pedophiles every time I go to church. I don't like that I have to see them. I don't like that I have to hear them. I don't like all the things that they say to the children of Steadfast Baptist Church. I don't like talking about it right now, but guess what? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible, and apparently Christians have forgot what the Bible says. So tonight, I want to explain to you how we make Texas normal again. It's very simple. Reject sodomites. Reject sodomites. But why do we as Bible-believing Christians reject sodomites, yea, hate sodomites, yea, preach that they should be given the state-sanctioned death penalty? Why do we preach that? Well, number one, we preach that because sodomites are predators. Sodomites are predators. They're not nice. They're not loving. They don't want to be your friend. They're not a great part of the community. You know, no hate in Hearst, right? That's what they claim to be, non-hateful, as they hold signs that says F Jonathan Shelley, as they hold signs that says spread some love as they're flipping me off, as they're spreading just lies and slander about me, about Pastor Shelley, about the people of our church. They're not loving. They're anything but it. You know what they are? Predators. Let's look what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 19. Let's start reading in verse 1. It says, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." So Lot, he sees these angels, he invites them to his house, he wants them to spend the night at his house, and they decline his offer. And look what it says in verse 3. "And he, Lot, pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat." So when Lot gives them the invitation, hey, you need to stay at my house tonight, don't stay in the street, they decline it at first. But then what does he do? He presses upon them greatly. He's like, no, you guys cannot sleep out in the streets in Sodom at night. I'm pressing upon you greatly. He's not going to let that happen. Well, why is that? Well, Lot lives in Sodom. He knows what Sodom's like. What does the Bible say that Sodom is like? Go back to Genesis and keep your finger in Genesis 19. Go back to Genesis 13. Genesis 13, a few pages to the left in your Bible. And look at Genesis 13, verse 13. This is what the Bible says. "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." So, of course, we know every single person is a sinner. We all have a sin nature. None of us are perfect. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? But the Bible says something different about these Sodomites. They're not your average sinner. They're not given to the same temptations and sins that we would commit as normal people. No, rather, they're wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. That's why Lot did not feel comfortable with these two men, these two angels, sleeping out in the streets at night. He's pressing upon them greatly. Why? Because the men of Sodom are not your average sinner. No, rather, they're wicked and they're sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Look at Genesis 19. Let's keep reading in verse 4. "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." And this is the view of what the Sodomite is really like. What do? They want to use force. They want to use violence. They want to be bullies. They want to encompass this man's house, threaten him, intimidate him. Why? So that he can know these strangers that came into the city. And obviously, when it's talking about knowing them, they're not wanting to shake hands and get acquainted. He's wanting to know like you would know someone in a physical relationship. It's disgusting. The first thing they do, these Sodomites, the first thing they do when they see a new visitor in town, they're like, okay, let's violently surround his house and threaten to rape these men. That's what the Sodomites are like. They don't want to have a dialogue. They don't want to coexist. What do they want to do? They want to surround people just like they surround a Baptist church every Sunday, every Sunday night, several Wednesday nights, and just scream and yell until they get their way. Why? Because they're violent and they're predators. That's why. They're absolute predators. How do you know that they're predators? Well, look back at verse 4. It says that they compass the house round, both old and young, all the people. From every quarter, every single person, every single inhabitant of Sodom was joining in this violent act to want to sodomize these men, both old and young. How do you have an entire city where every single person in it is a predator, where every single person in it is a sexual pervert? Well, it's because sodomites are predators. That's why. And because the older sodomites are constantly preying on the younger sodomites. And the older sodomites are constantly preying on the young normal people to recruit them to be sodomites. And if you hear the life story of a lot of these sodomites, a lot of these homos, they'll just openly tell you, oh yeah, I was abused by my dad as a child. I was abused by my mom. I was abused by my uncle. I was abused at all these different situations. And guess what? That's a horrible thing. And obviously, just because something like that happens to you, it doesn't mean you have to go down this dark road of hating God and rejecting God and blaming everything on God. But let me just tell you the reality, that's what a lot of people do. When they're sodomized as a young child, when they're attacked as a young child, it destroys your soul to have something so sick and twisted done unto you that instead of just facing, you know, the horrible thing that's happened to them and just asking God to help them, they just end up rejecting God altogether and they go down the exact same road as the predators that abused them and they become the exact same thing that the predators were to them. And that's why in Sodom, there's young and old compassing the house. This is why we say that all sodomites are pedophiles, or at least pedophiles in waiting. Maybe not every single sodomite that exists right now has ever been a pedophile physically, but if they were given the opportunity, if they were allowed to just continue being filled with all unrighteousness, as Romans chapter 1 says, and they're given that opportunity, they will do it. And especially when they're in numbers. When the sodomites are in numbers, they're emboldened to do worse and sick things. They like to show up in front of churches and dress in just horrible ways so that your children will see how they're dressed to pervert them. These sodomites will kiss each other in front of families as they're walking to and from their cars. Why? To pervert their minds. Why? Because they are predators. That's why. They don't want to just be content living their own lives. They just don't want to be content living with their family. And, oh, we just love each other. We just want to have a family. No, they want to pervert your children. They want to pervert you, and they want to be a predator to you. This, it proves it in Habakkuk 2. You could stay there in Genesis, but Habakkuk 2 says this, verse 15, "Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him," all this is men, right? Him, "and makest him drunken also." Why? "That thou mayest look on their nakedness." The Bible tells you, there's no new thing under the sun. The Bible tells you that the MO of these sodomites is to be a predator. One of the ways that they do that is by violence. One of the ways that they do that is when they're emboldened in numbers. Another way that they do that is with alcohol, to try to inhibit people, to try to get their guard down so that they can impose their will on them, because that's all that they want to do. They want to impose their will on everyone else. And how sad is it for the state of Texas when the sodomite population of the state of Texas is what? 3% of people? Let's be really generous. 5% of people? That's being really generous. And we as a state have allowed 5% of the population that hates God, that are pedophiles, that are sick perverts, we've allowed them to bully churches as a state, really? We've allowed them to bully legislatures and Supreme Courts to change the law in our country. When it used to be in our country, they were put to death. Now they're not even just seen as normal. It was like, okay, they were put to death, they were punished criminally, they were seen as disgusting, they were seen as mentally ill, they were seen as normal. Okay, we should coexist with them. Now they're great. Now they're loving. Now they're special. It got all the way over there. All the way from put to death, all the way to where they're elevated as good people. Pastor Shelley, evil. Sodomite, good. Bible-believing Christian, families, family values, loves going to church, a wife that loves to submit to her husband, a man that loves to lead his family, evil, wicked, child rapist, good. No hate in Hearst. The city of Hearst, I guarantee you, it's a conservative place. I guarantee you that if you looked at a political map of the city of Hearst, I guarantee you it's all red. They all voted for Donald Trump. But yet, you know who they see as the bad guy? Pastor Shelley, that believes the Bible. Who are the good guys? Child rapists, perverts, pedophiles, people that the Bible specifically say are absolute predators. When you read every single time they're mentioned, they're predators, they're bullies, they're imposing their will on people. That's why God says just put them to death, because you can't reason with them. They don't do anything good for society. They bring nothing to the table at all in our society. They're just criminals, they're pedophiles, and they're sick and disgusting, and anyone with a normal brain knows that they're sick and disgusting. Don't let this world bully you into no longer believing the Bible. Look at what we are reading tonight and choose to actually believe it over what CNN says, over what the news media say, or over what the majority of Texans say. You know, this state is upside down. This state is no longer a normal place. How do I know that they're predators? Go back to Genesis and look at chapter 18. Genesis 18. Look at verse number 20. It says, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know." What is this cry? God says that he's going to go see if Sodom is really like what he's hearing from these cries. And you know, I believe that these cries are the victims of these Sodomites that they're abusing, that they're molesting. These children are crying out to God, begging him to help them. But guess what? There's no one to help you in Sodom. No one to help you. And that's the road that we're going down in America, where we're going to become so tolerant of these people, where we're not even going to be okay with just gay and lesbian. Soon they're going to add another letter to that LGBTQ. It's going to be P, pedophile. And everyone's going to be okay with it. Everyone's going to say, oh, they're just born that way. How can you punish something that you're just born that way? And then all these children are going to be crying out to God. And guess what? God can hear them, but no one else is helping. As a society, we shouldn't even allow this situation to happen, to where a child is so helplessly getting abused by a sodomite. Woe unto us. Woe unto the United States. Woe unto Texas. Woe unto Hearst when we're doing nothing about the cries of the children. You know, it shouldn't even have to get up to God's ears for him to do something about it. You know, if we hear the cries of the children, we should do something about it. The state of Texas should hear the cries of the children getting abused and do something about it. And guess what? They did. And human beings have for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Sodomites were punished with a death penalty. Sodomites were hated. Sodomites were not allowed to just victimize children, just unfettered, not even stopped, not even restrained. Only recently is our country just entering in this hellish period where we're promoting sodomy. And woe, don't you just feel bad for these children that are being molested? And no one's doing anything about it. The only people that are doing anything about it are the ones exposing it, preaching about it, and everyone hates us for it. Everyone thinks we're hateful. Why? Because we actually love kids. They love the sodomites and hate children. We hate the sodomites and love kids. And we're seen as the bad guys for it. Go back to Genesis chapter 19. Let's keep reading in verse number 6. It says, "And Lot went out at the door unto them." So Lot's going to go confront these sodomites and see if he gives them a piece of his mind. "And shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." Now, Lot, this is so weird. He goes out and he meets them like he's their equal or whatever. He meets them like these are rational people, calls them brethren. Think about what a weak thing it is to call a sodomite brethren. I mean, these people are violent. They're circling his house. You know, it should be war. It's time to defend yourself. Your life is in danger right now. It's time to just defend yourself, cry out to God, and start defending yourself. No, he calls them brethren. Now, think about what a weak and pathetic stance that is. Yet there's Christians today that are even weaker. Because if you watched our documentary exposing our eviction, there's some Christians that says this: Jesus loves you. God loves you because he loves all people. Please don't spray my building with bullets. Please don't burn my building down. We love everybody. Wait a second. If these people are so peaceful and so nice, why are you begging them not to shoot up your building? Why are you begging them not to burn down your building? Hey, at least Lot said, don't do so wickedly. Woe unto you when Lot has a harder stance on the Sodomites than you, you false prophet, devil, attacking Christians, standing with reprobates, saying, God loves you, but don't burn my building down. Why don't you just go to hell, buddy? Why don't you just rot in hell? Disgusting freak, standing with them, standing against Pastor Shelley for preaching the word of God. You know, I cannot express enough disgust that I have for a Christian that has a lower stance against the Sodomites than Lot. Lot is given in the Bible as like the example of the worst Christian. Like, here's like the lowest you can be. Still saved, praise God for that. This guy is even lower than that. He loves them, he says. Look what Lot does in verse 8. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Now look what happens when you hang out with Sodomites, when you're living in Sodom. Look what happens to your mind. Lot has lost his mind to where he's literally offering his daughters to be raped by these Sodomites. What could be done to you to where you would press that button? I would rather die. I would rather die in the most brutal way. I would rather be tortured than to give my daughters to Sodomites. There's nothing that you could do to me that would cause me to do that. Not going to happen. You know, one of us is going to die if that's the wager on the table. Oh, you want my daughters? Okay, one of us is about to die. Period. Try me. Let's go. But according to Lot, he says, oh, my brethren, don't do so wickedly. You could do something that's much better. Here's my daughters. Sick. But guess what? When a culture and a society spends time in Sodom and just puts up with Sodomites, the society and the culture loses its mind. And Texas today has lost its mind. When we believe what 99% of humans in all of human history has believed, and now we're the crazy ones. No, I think you've lost your mind. I think you're wanting to give your daughters up unto Sodomites. I think you want to take your kids to the public school system, sit them down in a bunch of drag queens, and just give them to the Sodomites. Disgusting. And people call this hateful. How is it not hateful to give your kids up unto Sodomites? How is that not the hateful thing? Why is it hateful to point out, hey, this is sick and perverted and twisted and don't do it. Don't put up with it. Don't allow this filth in our society. Why is this seen as extreme when it's what people have always believed? No, what's extreme is giving your daughters to Sodomites. That's extreme. And today we see our state, the city of Hearst, just saying, here you go, Sodomites. You're an angry mob. Let's just allow you to have all the power. You can just close down any business you don't like. Oh, you don't like something a gun shop owner said? Well, just protest them, and then the courts will shut you down and evict you. That's the precedent that was just set. And let me just address something. People say, oh, no, he's not getting evicted for preaching the Bible. He's evicted for causing a nuisance. First of all, that's not even true. There's been several court cases where people have protested Planned Parenthoods, yay, blown up Planned Parenthoods, and the courts have found that that's not a nuisance. You cannot violate a lease by outside protesters protesting your business. You didn't do it. You don't have any control of those outside protesters, okay? And secondly, Pastor Shelley absolutely is being evicted for preaching the Word of God because he's always preached the death penalty against Sodomites. That's the context of the statements he made that were brought into the courtroom against him as evidence. Notice, the evidence that was brought into court against Pastor Shelley, you want to know what it was? His preaching! Oh, he's not getting evicted for his preaching, though. Okay, just all the evidence used against him in court was his preaching? How stupid can you be? These wannabe lawyers. Good night. Bunch of fag sympathizers is what they are. Look at verse number 9. And they said, let's see if these Sodomites are okay. Let's see if they're satisfied with the offer of Lot's daughters, verse 9. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. So Lot gives them this just disgusting offer of offering his daughter unto these Sodomites. And are the Sodomites okay with it? Are they placated by this? No. They said, now what we were going to do to those two men, which the Bible says is know them, right? What he was going to do to those two men is rape them. He says, I'm going to do something worse than that to you. I don't even want to know what that is. I don't even want to know what is worse than that. I don't know. But guess what? That's what these Sodomites are like. And they want to put on a facade about how loving they are. They want to hold signs facing the community about love. But when the community's not there, they're turning around at the Christians and they're not giving them love. Let me tell you that right now. They're liars. They're hypocrites. And if they could, if they have enough numbers, they will literally surround your house and try to abuse you, try to kill you. These Sodomites would love to murder me and my family. These Sodomites would love to murder Pastor Shelley and Pastor Shelley's family. They've threatened it several times on the voicemails. Haven't you listened to the voicemails? They would love to murder and sodomize every Christian family in America. And you know what? There could be a time in our nation where they're just so empowered and so emboldened that they're doing this kind of things like you see in Sodom without anybody stopping them. But God will stop them, as we'll see later in the story. That's the road that Texas is heading towards, is a road towards Sodom. I'll read for you Psalm 11, verse 5. It says, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. The Bible says that if you are a person that you love violence, God hates your soul. I didn't write that. Pastor Shelley didn't write that. The Bible says God hates the soul of a person that loves violence. And guess what? When you're blowing up churches like the Sodomites did against First Works Baptist Church, you love violence. When you're threatening Pastor Shelley's family, when you're threatening the people of our church, you are a violent person and God hates you if you're a violent person like that. But that's what they have to resort to. Genesis 19, let's look at verse number 10. Genesis 19, verse 10. It says, but the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and to shut the door. So the angels are pulling Lot in. They're saving him. Verse 11. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Then this spiritual miracle happens where the angels actually smite these Sodomites with physical blindness. Now, I don't know about you. If I was in a fight with someone and all of a sudden I was completely blind, I'd be disabled. It'd be like, whoa, what's going on? I'm done. You know, I submit or whatever. These Sodomites are not like that. They're completely implacable. Even when they're physically blinded by the angels, they're wearying themselves to get to the door. They're literally tiring themselves out trying to be violent. They're tiring themselves out trying to be predators. Can you imagine wearing yourself out to do something that's wicked? Literally just exerting yourself to the point of exhaustion, not to work hard, not to do something good, but to actually do something evil, to tire yourself out to do that. It's disgusting. I'll read for you Romans 1:31. The context of this verse is about homosexuals, men with men. It says this, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. The Bible says that they're not able to be placated. You're not able to make a deal with them. You're not able to give them something that would suffice their desires. Lot can't just give them their daughters and they're going to be okay with that. No, they're going to want you. They're going to want the men. They're going to want the daughters. And they're never going to be placated. They're unmerciful. This is why it's so stupid for a property owner to collude with Sodomites and to try to make a deal with Sodomites. These Sodomites don't love this guy. These Sodomites don't love any parachurch Christian ministry. Anything even remotely tied to the name of Jesus Christ, they hate. Even if it's a false religion, they hate that too. Just because anything tied to the name of Jesus, they hate that. And I guarantee these Sodomites would turn and rend these people that love them so fast if they had the opportunity, if they had the numbers. Well, guess what? They're building the numbers right now. They're building the numbers in our communities. They're building the numbers in our state and in our nation. And preachers are standing by and letting it happen. You know who, honestly, I'm not even really mad at the citizens of Hearst that are just unsaved, just walking, you know, through the course of this world, being led by the devil, just like every unsaved person is. They don't have the Holy Spirit of God leading them to all truth. They don't know the truth of the Word of God. Who I'm really upset with is preachers and pastors that have sat down and read Genesis 19 and don't preach on it, that have sat down and read Leviticus 20, that have sat down and read Romans chapter 1, they've read 2 Peter chapter 2, they've read the book of Jude, and then they look at a guy like Pastor Shelley and say, why do you have to say that? Did you not read the Bible? Do you call yourself a man of God? You call yourself a preacher of God's word? Sounds like you're ashamed of it. And the reason why we're in such a mess in the state of Texas is because of saved Christian pastors. That's why. Not because of the politicians. Not because of the sodomites. Because guess what? Our country used to squash the sodomite problem like a bug. It's called the death penalty. It's called stone them with stones. It's called hang them. It's called firing squad. It's called, you know, they get ran over by a truck by another sodomite. I don't care how they die. If they're worthy of death, why would I care the method of which they die? Why would I care? I don't care at all. Romans 1, 32, I'll read for you. Verse 32, you could turn to Leviticus 20. Verse 32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Why don't all these people that hate Pastor Shelley and hate Steadfast Baptist Church and hate our preaching from the Word of God, why don't they just say it? You don't like the Bible. You don't like Jesus Christ. You don't like the Word of God. Why don't you just admit it? Why don't you just admit it? I'm not a real Christian. I actually don't believe what the Bible says. Why don't you just admit it? Because guess what the Bible just said right there? That all of them are worthy of death. You've got a problem with that? You've got a problem with God. You got a problem with that? You got a problem with the Word of God? You don't have a problem with Pastor Shelley. You don't have a problem with Steadfast Baptist Church. You have a problem with Jesus Christ. Look at Leviticus chapter 20, verse 8. It says this, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. Everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. Verse 10, the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. Verse 13, the man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with the woman. Both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. What's the title of the sermon tonight? Make Texas Normal Again. If we want to make Texas normal again, these horrible, disgusting crimes would be punished in our society. The reason why things are not normal in our society is because these things are not punished anymore. I mean, look at adultery and divorce. It did not used to be that over half of people in America were divorced, or 40% or whatever the rate is. It's some huge rate. Tons and tons of people are getting divorced. It used to be lower than that, okay? The rate of sodomites in our country used to be lower than that. And, you know, verse 15 terrifies me. And if a man lie with a beast, where are we going as a nation? I mean, verse 10 was about adultery. That's really bad, right? Verse 13 about sodomites. That's where we are right now. Where are we headed right now as a nation? Towards not being normal, I could tell you that. You want to make Texas normal again? Let's punish these horrible crimes that the Bible says to punish. And people get upset. First of all, people get upset just believing the death penalty, period. Then they get really upset when you find out that you believe the death penalty for all the things in the Bible. Then they get really upset when you say that you don't care how these people die, just as long as they die. Because think about it. Let's just use some logic here. God says, let them be put to death. God agrees. God puts his stamp of approval on the death of a sodomite. He says, yep, kill him. It's good. The government, of course. So if they die in a different way, I'm not saying that that's how God sanctioned their death, because God sanctioned their death to be through the government's death penalty. But if they die in a different way, why would I be sad? Why would I be upset? They're still dying. They're still getting the end result that God wanted for them. And so Pastor Shelley says, yeah, some faggot in Florida ran over another faggot and hope we could hope for some more soon. I say amen. Right? If Texas isn't going to do it, Texas isn't going to make Texas normal again. Maybe the fags will just all kill themselves together. Hey, I don't care if they die of AIDS. I don't care if they get struck by lightning. I don't care if they have a heart attack in their sleep. You say, oh, this is really radical. No, it's not. Because God himself said that they're worthy of death. Why is it radical to believe what God said? Our country's lost their mind. And like I said, you know, when you spend time in Sodom and you spend time around Sodomites, you lose your mind. I'm going to give you a quote of a guy. His name's Jeff Duncan. He is the maintenance guy for our landlord. This is one of the things that he said. This shows you how sick and twisted and how much you lose your mind when you love sodomites. This question was asked him. So every man, old and young in Sodom, was a prostitute or idol worshiper? Because this is a stupid thing that a lot of people believe, that the word sodomite in the Bible means like a temple prostitute rather than a homosexual. But obviously, you see in the Bible, it's not true. The people wanting to rape the angels in Lot's house? This was Jeff Duncan's answer. Yeah, a story of rape of young, beautiful men. You are a faggot, Jeff Duncan, to say something like that. You are a faggot to say something that disgusting. He said, if physical relations is such a sin, why did Lot offer his daughters? He's defending Lot! Let me read that again. Don't miss this. If physical relations is such a sin, I'm censoring him a little bit. If physical relations is such a sin, why did Lot offer his daughters? He's literally defending Lot's actions, saying that this is something that's good. See, it's not a sin. Look, Lot gave his daughters to the sodomite, huh? That's Jeff Duncan's mind. This is what he said. It seems like, oh, then he says this. Who did Lot lie with afterwards? If you're following along in the Bible reading, Lot's daughters purposely got Lot drunk to sleep with him. He says, well, who did Lot lie with afterwards? Defending that as well. This is what he says. It seems like all the sexual sin you teach of is not really an abomination after all. That is coming from the mind of the people that hate us but love sodomites. Oh, what Lot did is fine. Oh, what Lot's daughters to him, it's not so much of an abomination after all. You're an abomination, Jeff Duncan. You're disgusting. And any Christian that has that type of a mentality, that any Christian that reads Genesis 19 and comes away with that conclusion is not even saved. Not even close to being saved. Because you're not even close to being understanding the Bible. If what you come away with out of Genesis 19 is, oh, it's a story of rape of young, beautiful men. And, you know, it's fine what Lot did. It's not so much of an abomination after all. Disgusting. These are our enemies today. And this is who Hearst, Texas is standing with. People like Jeff Duncan. What a sad day for Hearst. What a sad day for Texas. People drive by and honk their horns for predators, for pedophiles, for freaks like Jeff Duncan, and hate a man like Pastor Shelley. Woe unto our country. Genesis 19, let's read in verse 12. The men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. God heard the cries of the victims of these people. God saw the perversion and the violence and the sick, disgusting filth that these sodomites were doing, and he said, I've had enough of it. Drag Lot out of here. I'm torching this place. I'm destroying this place. And let me tell you what, if there was a city in America that was 100% sodomites, I believe God would destroy that city. I believe the only reason that God is not destroying Hearst, Texas is because there's great families that live in Hearst, Texas that go to our church because our soul winners are there. That's the only reason. But he's saying, hey, drag Lot out of there. I am destroying this place. Look at verse 14. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Yeah, I wonder why. His testimony was a complete joke. That's why they're mocking him. I mean, he was trying to give his sons-in-law's wives to the sodomites. He's saying, okay, come with me, guys. You know, when you have this sort of sort of Sodom-loving mentality, your Christian testimony is a joke. It's nil. It's none. Verse 15. When the morning arose, then the angels hasted Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." Notice one of the things that the angels instructed Lot was to not look behind him at what God was about to do to this city. And the reason I think that is because I don't think God wanted Lot or his family to pity these Sodomites. The Bible says that mine eye affecteth mine heart. If you saw the carnage and the wrath of God that he was about to unleash on Sodom, it would affect you. Because us as human beings, people that aren't reprobates, you can't just see human beings being burned alive and not feel something there, right? I mean, it's kind of just against our nature. But look, when God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, you know what he did? He burned them alive. You see, that's graphic. Yeah, but it's the word of God. And he said, "Lot, don't even look back at it, because I don't want you pitying it for 1 second." You watch the Sodomite deception, you know, the intro is very powerful. When you see Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire raining on them, and it's kind of eerie because you hear the screams of Sodom, right? And we just read the Bible and we're like, "Oh, another Bible story." But just live this story for a minute. You're being dragged out of Sodom by the angels. Fire's coming down from heaven, destroying human beings. That is just, I mean, can you imagine seeing such a thing? But God said, "Don't look back. Don't look back." Why? Because I don't think he wanted him to pity. Because even a horrible punishment of being burned alive, guess what? It's worthy to those Sodomites. God says it's good. That's God's righteous judgment. So don't feel bad. Don't feel bad when God roasts Sodomites in hell for all of eternity. "Well, I love them." Well, are you more loving than God? Because he said, "Don't even look back as I torch them alive." Don't even look back. Man, it's just crazy to think about. Look at verse 18. It says, "And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Notice, what was stopping all of these Sodomites from getting judged? It was Lot's presence. Even the most sorry Christian, like one of the worst examples of a Christian in the Bible, God's withholding his wrath for Lot and for his family. Lot's life matters, okay? Even Lot's life matters. But you know whose life doesn't matter? Homos. You know whose life doesn't matter? Sodomites. Pedophiles. Their life does not matter whatsoever. The most sorry Christian, their life matters. Even the sorry Christians that love Sodomites, their life matters. It's sad. I mean, it's sad that they love Sodomites. But you know, their life matters. But any Sodomite, you know, the most conservative Sodomite, Milo, his life doesn't matter. I know all the conservatives love Milo because he's a conservative queer. Sorry, his life doesn't matter. But Lot's life matters. Look at verse 24. "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." What happened to Lot's wife? She left her heart in San Francisco. And because of that, God judged her. God judged her for looking back. God judged her for pitying, I believe, those Sodomites. Let's not be like that as Christians. Why don't we actually just stand with Pastor Shelley? Why don't we just actually say, yeah, I liked everything you said. Even the parts that everyone takes out of context, yep, I like it. Amen, because they're worthy of death. And I'm not going to turn back and look towards Sodom. I'm not going to pity them, even if they're being destroyed by God in the most brutal way imaginable. No pity. Amen, Pastor Shelley. Amen, Lord Jesus Christ, that rained down fire from the Lord out of heaven. The Lord rained fire from the Lord. Great picture of the Trinity there as well. Keep your place there in Genesis and go to Jude. And Jude tells us how God feels, even in the New Testament, how God feels about this judgment that he gave Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, you say, this was just the Old Testament. This is how God felt about Sodomites in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for the sin of pedophilia. And so now it's all good. Let's see if the Bible says that. Jude 1:7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. The people that died in Sodom and Gomorrah right now in this day in 2022 are still suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And they will for all of eternity. And God says those people, Sodom and Gomorrah, you know what they are? They're an example. They're set forth as an example, saying, this is what I believe. This is what I think about Sodomites. This is how I'm going to judge Sodomites. And do you know that every single Sodomite will be judged exactly like these people are? Because they're going to be in hell, burned with fire, for all of eternity. That's how God feels about them. I'm going to skip some of this just for time. But my first point of why we need to reject these people, how we can make Texas normal again, obviously, by rejecting the Sodomites. Why do we do that? Because they're predators. And the story of Genesis 19 proves that beyond any shadow of a doubt. No honest Bible preacher can read Genesis 19 and say that they're not predators. They absolutely are. Why else should we reject these people? Well, let's just, you know, take a break from the Bible and go to a little bit of science, okay? Sodomites are full of disease. There's another reason why we should reject them. Sodomites are full of disease. And it's an absolute curse on our nation to have these people in our society. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 1 really quickly. Romans chapter 1. Look at verse number 27. Romans 1, 27. This is in context of reprobates. It says this. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. So these Sodomites have received in themselves a reward, a punishment that they deserve because of their disease. Now, I believe the primary application of this is what they were given, what they were recompensed by God, what was meat for them, what they deserve, was that they're given to a reprobate mind. I believe that's the primary punishment, is a reprobate mind. But there's a lot of other punishments that Sodomites get that are in them, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat, and it's called disease. Sodomites are absolutely full of disease. Now, let's see if I still had it. I had some articles here with some statistics about Sodomites. I might not read this whole thing, but I'll leave them here. You guys could check it out afterwards. But here's this article. It says, yet another study confirms gay life expectancy 20 years shorter. 20 years shorter by LifeSiteNews.com, Washington, D.C., June 6, 2005. A new study which analyzed tens of thousands of gay obituaries and compared them with AIDS deaths data from the Center for Disease Control has shown that the life expectancy for homosexuals is about 20 years shorter than that of the general public. The study entitled Gay Obituaries Closely Track Officially Reported Deaths from AIDS has been published in Psychological Reports. In an interview with LifeSiteNews.com, Dr. Paul Cameron, the president of the Family Research Institute and the scientists, and it goes on and on and on. Now, this study that was done was actually done by a couple of people that were pro-sodomite. They did not have anything against homosexuals whatsoever. And there's been a lot of people that have used their study, obviously, to condemn sodomites, saying, like, look, they're full of disease. They have a 20-year life expectancy shorter than your average person. And these people have made statements like, you know, we didn't want our study to say anything negative about the LGBT, but it's like, okay, but it's reality. And the facts say things negative about the LGBT just by the fact that they die, on average, 20 years earlier than your average person. 20 years. I mean, I don't know the statistics on smoking, but I don't even know if smoking cuts off on average 20 years of your life. Man. Then you have the CDC, which is definitely pro-sodomite, love queers. And they say that over half of people with HIV are gay and bisexual men. So think about that. You have, let's be very generous and say that 5% of the U.S. population are sodomites, which it's probably lower than that. Maybe it is 5%. 5% of the American population has over 50% of all HIV. I think there's a correlation there. That's crazy, right? It'd be like, what if we had, like, you know, 100 churches in a 5-mile radius, and then all the soul winners in here, and it was like 5% of these church people got 100% of the salvations, right? It's like, I think there's a correlation here. Like, these are the soul winners, okay? It's like 5% of the people, over half of all AIDS. It's like, okay, these are the disease-ridden, AIDS-dispensing, curse on our nation, disease-filled freaks in our society. It's the facts. That's what science says, okay? It says that, you know, I don't even want to think about this stuff anymore or read this disgusting stuff. If you really want to read it, you can afterwards, but it's a curse on our society. I'll read for you Leviticus 18:22. It says this, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled." Verse 25, "And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants." God's saying, the stuff that they do is so disgusting. It's so defiling. The Bible describes it as just being defiled. The Bible says they're so disgusting, it's so defiling, that the land itself vomiteth out the inhabitants thereof. I mean, God's just using graphic language, just saying, like, I'm so repulsed by this, the ground, the earth is just going to throw you up. That's how gross it is. And you have to be trained, you have to be brainwashed, you have to be taught to not think it's gross. Every single person on a natural level sees two people of the same gender kissing is just like, ugh, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. And that's why they do it in front of kids. That's why they do it in front of you, because they know they're disgusting. That's why Pastor Mejia said that some of those fags, when they were protesting him, said, hey, let's make them puke, because they know how disgusting they are. And they know that to an average person, the things they do just makes you want to puke. It's disgusting. Last point tonight, number 3, go to Romans chapter 1. Number 1, they're predators. Number 2, they're full of disease. It's a curse on our nation. Especially when you read the Bible and found out that they go both ways and that they're infecting the straight population of our society too. Which, by the way, that's a great reason to be pure, ladies. It's a good reason to be pure, young men, and not going out around and sleeping with strangers. Because you don't know what kind of fag has been with that. You don't want that AIDS. You don't want those disgusting diseases. You follow what God says, it'll never happen to you. Last reason, number 3, sodomites have been rejected by God. Why as a state do we want to embrace people? Why as a city, why as a culture, why as a nation do we want to embrace people that God himself has rejected? You want to make Texas normal again? Why don't we start by rejecting people that God has rejected and not act like, oh, Texans are so much more godly than God. Oh, Hearst, Texas is so much smarter than the Lord Jesus Christ. No, I think if God rejected them, I think we should reject them too. Let me prove that from the Bible. Romans chapter number 1, look at verse 18. It says this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For, meaning because, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Some people teach that in order to become a reprobate, you have to be given a clear presentation of the gospel. I don't believe that's true at all, because look at what the Bible says there. It says that there's things that are clearly seen, things that are just understood because God has showed it to those people. And creation itself bears witness to these things, and we can know some things just by looking at creation itself. What can we know? Well, we can know the Godhead. We can know the power. I'm sorry, look at verse 20. Even his eternal power and Godhead. So those are things that you can learn just by looking outside. There's something very, very powerful, and it's God. Eternal power and Godhead, okay? And those things has been revealed in the heart of every single person. No one's born an atheist. Every single person is born with a knowledge of God. The law of God is written on our hearts. And even just creation itself bears witness to the existence of God. But there's some people that don't even like the slightest, just most baseline truth in this universe. Like, God exists. It's like level one of truth. God exists. There's people that just want to reject any and all type of truth. And the road to becoming a reprobate, yes, if you're given a clear presentation of the gospel and you reject it, obviously you're rejecting the truth. But the road to becoming rejected by God is by rejecting any truth and all truth, even the truth of the creation. Because even if that's all you know, the Bible says in verse 20, says that they're without excuse, just by those things alone. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Notice, it's not that they're ignorant. It's not that they just didn't know. No, they know, but when they know, they don't glorify God. When they know the truth of God, they're not thankful at all. Rather, they just become vain in their mind, in their own imaginations. They come up with, have you heard this? Well, I believe in my truth. Wow, you're getting close to being a reprobate when you say something like that. No, 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 no. Truth is the word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is truth. There is no, well, I believe in my truth. Whoa, you're going down a dark road right now when you say something like that. No, there's one truth, and you need to glorify God, and you need to be thankful for that truth. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. And then you can really see the fruit of someone that's gone down this road for a while when they start telling you things like, oh yeah, we were just created by this explosion. And, you know, we evolved from rocks. And, like, there was, like, a little marsupial that crawled out of the ocean, and it became a kangaroo, and then it went back and became a whale, came back. It was a deer, and then it became a monkey, and then here we are. Isn't that nice? Isn't that wonderful? That's called becoming a fool. You know, believing that God created us does not take as much faith as your weird evolution garbage. But evolution garbage is, you know, a reprobate idea of rejecting truth. Is what evolution is. Look at verse 23. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. So rather than worshiping God in spirit and in truth, they want to make something that's on their level. So they make an image, or they make something in the likeness of a bird or a beast. This is why America says, oh, dogs, man's best friend. It's like, no, Jesus' best friend, okay? Let's have Jesus be our best friend. Not some beast, not some filthy dog that ruins people hearing the gospel all the time, okay? I don't like dogs. I'm sorry if you are a dog owner. I am with Pastor Shelley on this doctrine. Verse 24, now here's a key phrase. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies, between themselves. He says, you've got all these weird, sick lusts in your hearts. Well, just go at it. I'll just give you up. I'll just give you unto all that filth that you want to do. You want to worship animals? Here, you can be like an animal. You want to worship dogs? Here. Here's the heart of a dog. Here's the mind of a dog, you filthy beast. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, because they changed the truth of God into a lie, because they rejected him, because they don't want anything to do with him, it says this, he gave them up unto vile affections. Now, we're going to learn exactly what vile affections is. We don't get to just decide what we think is a vile affection. The Bible's actually going to tell us exactly what it is. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use, so this is not something that's normal, this is not something that's natural, the use of the woman, they burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So they left that which was natural, they left that which was normal, now they're going to something what? That's not normal. This is why the sermon title is called Make Texas Normal Again. Because it's not normal to be a sodomite. It's not normal for men to be with other men. It's not normal for women to be with other women. It's called unseemly. It's not convenient. It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come easily. This is something that can only happen when God has given up on you. When God has given you over to vile affections. When God has just given you over to the heart and mind of a beast. That's the only way such a sick and perverted sin can even be committed. It's not natural. It's not something that a normal person could even do. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they don't even want to think about God. They don't even want to think about his existence. Pay attention to the next phrase. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So we've seen it three times. God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them over. Who gave up on these people? God did. So guess what? I gave up on them too. I believe Texas should give up on them too. I believe Hearst, Texas should give up on them. Everyone should give up on these people. Why? Because God himself has given up on these people. It says that he's given up them up to all these unnatural and disgusting sins. You can stay there in Romans 1, and I'll read for you 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So the Bible says there's no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man. All of us, we're all sinners. We all struggle with the exact same common temptations. Lying, stealing, gossip, lust, being a thief. Murder is even a natural sin. You know, if you get really angry, just spur of the moment, right? But there's certain sins that are not natural. There's certain sins that you would never, ever, ever do. It's just not possible because you have the heart and mind of a human being. You haven't been given over to a reprobate mind. You're not a psychopath. You don't have the heart of a beast. And so you know what you can never do? You can never go murder a whole school of children. It's not going to happen. You can't do that. You can't go and just be a pedophile. You can't go and harm a child in that type of way. It's not natural. No one struggles with that. No normal person struggles with being attracted to a child. If you are attracted to a child, please kill yourself. And guess what? No one is naturally attracted to someone of the same gender. It does not happen unless you've been given over to a reprobate mind. Unless God himself has rejected you, that's the only way such an unnatural and disgusting sin can even happen. And so when I see a sodomite, when I see someone that claims to be homosexual, it's just I see someone rejected by God. No hope for them. No chance of salvation. There's no reforming them. It used to be that people believed that there was no helping a pedophile. There's no reforming them. They have the heart of a beast. There's no helping them whatsoever. And it says about them what they're really like. It says that God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, not natural, aren't natural sins. What is it? Well, they're being filled with all unrighteousness. That's a scary statement right there because there's people that are sinners. There's people that are worse sinners. You read the Bible, there's some pretty wicked people that got saved, right? But the thing about the sodomite, the thing about the reprobate is that they're constantly being filled with unrighteousness. So the longer they exist on this planet, the more wicked they will get. Every day that they're on this earth, they're worse than they were the day before. You know, we're Christians. We have the old man. We have the new man. We have to battle against the flesh, try to walk in the spirit, and so that we could be walking in the new man and not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. And some days we're successful, some days we're not. Hopefully we're a better Christian today than we were yesterday. Hopefully we're a better person this year than we were last year. But every single sodomite, every single reprobate, every single day is worse than the day they were before, because they're being filled with all unrighteousness. They don't just struggle with some sins. They're being filled with every sin imaginable. They're the worst people alive. They're the worst sinners on the planet. It says this, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. You ever just sat around and just tried to invent a sin? No. No. We struggle with natural temptations. We struggle with natural sins. No normal person just sits in their bed and thinks, I need to invent a sin. I need to invent something evil and wicked to do. That's what they do. They invent evil things. That's why they come up with things like abortion. Disobedient to parents. Kids, you better obey your parents, or you're acting kind of like a reprobate. Without understanding. Covenant breakers. Without natural affection. That's how they're able to hurt children. They don't have natural affection. Implacable. Unmerciful. And we read this list and we're thinking, man, this is horrible. What can be done for these people? What should we do about these people? The answer is right there in verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And the reason why this kind of stuff needs to be preached is because people, if people actually understood what the sodomites are really like, if they realize they're predators, they're violent, they're disease dispensers, they're rejected by God, they hate God, they're filled with murder, they're being filled with all unrighteousness, they sit around and invent evil things to do, they have no natural affection. If you understand that, then you understand the logical conclusion to understanding that, which is that they should be put to death. And it's sad that Christians have gotten so far away from their Bibles to where a preacher in the Bible Belt can get up and preach the Word of God and everyone's so offended. Everyone acts like he's Al-Qaeda or something. Some Christian terrorist for preaching the words of Jesus Christ. Woe unto the city of Hearst. Woe unto the state of Texas for rejecting a man of God that is doing nothing but warning our society about the evils of these people and warning the families with young children about what these sodomite predators want to do with them. Woe unto you for rejecting him. Woe unto you for rejecting Steadfast Baptist Church. And guess what? If some sodomite ever dies in a parade again, if some sodomite ever dies in a Pulse nightclub shooting ever again, and Pastor Shelley ever wants to preach about it and say, hey, I think it's great that they died. I hope more happens soon. I'm going to say amen. Why? Because of what the Word of God says. And if you don't believe that, shame on you for not believing the Word of God. Why don't you use this sermon to just decide, hey, I am just going to stand with what the Bible says no matter what. I'm not going to let the world intimidate me. I'm not going to let the state of Texas intimidate me. I don't care if the entire city of Hearst, the entire city of Houston wants to reject the Word of God. I'm not going to do it, and I don't care what the consequences are. Take our building. Take whatever you want. We are not compromising on the Word of God, and I pray every single person in here would never compromise on this doctrine. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you so much for your word, Lord. Lord, your word has so many great and encouraging and positive things in it, but there's also some serious, dire warnings in it, Lord. I pray that us as Christians, we wouldn't neglect the negative just because it's rejected by our society. I pray that we would embrace it, that we would preach it from the housetops, and that we would not be ashamed of it. I pray that every single person in this room would sink their beliefs deep into their hearts, that it would be something that they truly believe themselves, not just something that was handed to them by their pastor, by any other preacher. I pray that every person in here would read your word so that they would not be deceived by the lies of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so for our last song this evening is going to be 409, The Fight is On. 409, The Fight is On. 409, the fight is on.
The fight is on, the trumpet sound is ringing out, the cry to arms is heard afar and near. The Lord of hosts is marching on to victory, the triumph of the Christ will soon appear. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array, with armor gleaming and color streaming, the right and wrong engaged today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in His might hold fast. If God be for us, His banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor's song at last. The fight is on. Arouse ye soldiers brave and true. Jehovah leads and victory will assure. Go buckle on the armor God has given you, and in His strength forever will endure. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array, with armor gleaming and color streaming, the right and wrong engaged today. The fight is on, but be not weary. His might hold fast. If God be for us, His banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor's song at last. The fight is leading on to certain victory. The bow of promise spans the eastern sky. His glorious name in every land shall honored be. The morn will break, the dawn of peace is nigh. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array, with armor gleaming and color streaming, the right and wrong engaged today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in His might hold fast. If God be for us, His banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor's song at last.
Good singing. God bless. You are dismissed. You getting warm, brother?